Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the podcast. Wow, what a difference a week makes. My goodness. Oh, God. Well, so much has happened, hasn't it, since the last podcast. And on this day of recording this podcast, we've gone into lockdown. And at this time of me recording this podcast, which is Thursday, 5th of November, we don't even know who the US president is. So, man, talk about uncertainty and everything feeling like shifting sand. It's really interesting. I think uncertainty is such a it's underrated for the impact it has on us. I think most of us really hate not knowing stuff. It's that sense of when we really know, we feel that we can then perhaps be in control, or we can deal with stuff. But when we don't know, when things are completely out of our control, it causes us even more stress and anxiety, you know. So I think that can often be the reason why people turn to alcohol or ramp up their alcohol or their drugs or whatever, because we numb out because we can't deal with the uncertainty of something. So as we head into another lockdown, if you're listening to this, please, please, please promise me, y'all, that ditching the booze will be your sober legacy, because God knows there was an awful lot of people who headed into the last lockdown and really caned it and have, you know, spent a good long time struggling to kind of get back off that booze elevator. So, you know, we do have a choice, and hard as this stuff is for some people, it'll always be harder if you try and do it with, you know, by numbing out. And I know that's really easy to say. And I'm also aware that, you know, I speak from a position of being really fortunate. And I was interviewed on a podcast the other day, you know, and they asked me how I'd been kind of through lockdown. It was very interesting, actually, because I'd been part of a kind of little panel thing. And everyone on the panel, pretty much everyone, said that they had found great benefits through the first lockdown, and they'd actually really enjoyed it and various things. And I can't honestly, hand on heart, say that. I basically feel that I'm completely in two minds. On the one hand, I feel incredibly blessed and grateful for all that I have, and I really know that that I'm lucky, because I do still have some work, of course, and I have a family, I have a garden, and I can survive. But by the same token, in equal measures, I feel just such a massive amount of anger and frustration for everyone that's suffering right now. So anyways, someone was asking me about it, and we were talking about the way that people use these really unsettling times as a way of numbing. And we were talking about how numbing out isn't necessarily just up doing something like, you know, using alcohol or drugs. Actually, numbing can be anything, really. It can even be the things that you consider are good, you know, like exercise or reading lots of self-help books or whatever, because it's not the action in itself that is necessarily bad. It's what are the thoughts behind you choosing to do that particular thing to distract yourself. You know, to effectively numb out from the feelings that you don't want to feel. And that's what it all boils down to, really, doesn't it? That we've all got an increase, or not all, but many of us have an increase of these feelings that are very, very uncomfortable. And none of us have ever been taught to sit with our feelings. We've spoken about this before. And some of you may have heard the podcast I did with Carla McLaren. I just thought she was great. The book is fabulous if you don't have it, Embracing Anxiety. And she talks there about actually, you know, all emotions are okay. They aren't either good or bad. They are there to show us. They're there to teach us and to help us recognize what's going on. The problem is that we've all, from a very early age, been used to feeling something that is uncomfortable, whether it's jealousy or sadness or fear or anxiety. And our very first thought is, okay, I'm really unsettled. I don't like that feeling. I need to get away from it. I need to numb out. And so, you know, over time, that's what we do. And then, of course, that becomes a habit. And then that becomes a perpetuating, self-perpetuating kind of ritual that we get into. So, of course, the answer is to, and I know this is very simplistic, but that's what we need to do, is actually recognize these feelings, sit with these feelings and ask what they're really about. You know, what is it that we are really seeking? What feeling is it that we want? And that's where, you know, the work comes in, of course. So I think the bottom line is, in the midst of all of this, when there is so much uncertainty about so many things, and an awful lot, the majority of stuff we have no control over. But we do have control over our thoughts. We actually do. And by the way, if you're in the early stages of ditching the booze and you've still got the cravings going on, I've said many times, they're just thoughts. They're pretty harsh, annoying ones that get in the way, but they are just thoughts. And we do have control over our own thoughts. So it's really worth challenging them when they pop up. Put that P in, the pause. You know, you have the thought, pause and ask yourself, what is actually going on? What feeling is it that I would like to create right now? And give yourself the time that you need. Really, all we have, any of us, is the present moment, after all. That's what it all comes down to, doesn't it? We have the present, and that's what we have to focus on. So on that note, actually, I completely changed the guest I was going to have this week. And I got an opportunity to interview Alad Jones. I don't think there's anyone in the UK who doesn't know who Alad Jones is, even if you're remembering Back to the Snowman. Alad is one of my colleagues, of course, from BBC Radio 2. He's just such a great guy, and he's worked in just so many different capacities as an author and a singer and an actor and, you know, all kinds of stuff. A presenter, of course, on TV. And Alad has written this book of everyday blessings, inspirational words of comfort and hope. There's also an album. But I got sent this book, and because also interviewing Alad on the BBC, and I flicked through it. It's a beautiful book, and I flicked through it and just landed on a couple of kind of readings, a couple of, you know, it's very dip-in-able. And the one for today, the kind of quote for today is, death is not the greatest loss in life. The greatest loss is what dies inside us while we live. That's a Norman Cousins quote. Wow, that is powerful. And then I flicked ahead to the 7th of November. And the quote was, insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And doesn't that just sum it up? Isn't that what so many of us do when we keep on drinking, even though we actually don't want to drink? How bizarre is it? I know we've said many times that if it were a food that didn't agree with us and made us throw up, we would never go near that food again, just ever, end of. And yet with alcohol, we just keep on coming back. And of course, if you do what you've always done, you get what you've always gotten. So this is a really lovely book, actually, by Alad Jones, Everyday Blessings. And I thought it would be great to just get his take on stuff. So enjoy the interview.
I'm so pleased to be able to interview Alad Jones. Alad, how are you doing?
Oh, it's lovely to hear your voice. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Great. So lovely to talk to you. But normally we'd be in the studio at the BBC, wouldn't we? And be able to hug
to
and everything. Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Let's clap ourselves. Oh, it's great to chat to you. I just really wanted to have a chat with you for this great, I mean, what a bunch of products. You've been a busy guy. This A Book of Blessings for Every Day of the Year. And this is just such a beautiful book. I mean, I wish it was telly, because actually it's gorgeous. You must be very pleased with this book. Even just the cover feels amazing, doesn't it?
Well, do you know what? I'm really pleased you've said that, especially you as well. I love the cover. It's
gorgeous.
That whole gold feel. It just warms your heart, doesn't
it?
And to be honest with you, you know, I probably wouldn't have finished this book had it not been for lockdown. You say I've been busy, but I haven't. I've been sitting around and eating and drinking far too much, you know, and it focused the mind, really. I've had these little sayings and inspirational words hanging around with me for years, you know, some of them from Australia. There's Cherokee Proverbs, all this kind of business. And I suppose lockdown gave me that opportunity to put them all into different months and to then, you know, write about what those months mean to me. For instance, you know, January, I don't like January at all. It feels to me like we get to December, you know, and it's a very much a warm time, lots of different colours, everyone's nice to one another. And then, you know, midnight strikes and, you know, we all sing Auld Lang Syne, and then you go, I feel I'm bloated, I feel dreadful, need to diet, it's dark, it's cold, here we go again. And so, but you know, there are also, I write about months like July that take me back to childhood, you know, when I'd say goodbye to my mum in the morning with a jam sandwich in cellophane in my pocket. Mm-hmm. And I'd say, see you later, mum. And later meant when it gets dark, you know, no mobile phones or anything like that. And off we'd go on our bikes on adventures and playing football, falling out of trees. And yeah, so it's actually been a really lovely project. And being able to, I don't know, turn to words from people that I admire, people like, you know, there's May the 1st, there's John Lennon. And this one's a particular favorite of mine. I don't know if you've seen it, but he says, you know, when I was 5 years old, my mother always told me that happiness was the key to life. When I went to school, they asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up. I wrote down happy. They told me I didn't understand the assignment, and I told them they didn't understand life.
Yeah, it's so true. I love the way that through the book, you know, as you say, you've drawn on all kinds of different wisdoms, if you like, and you've got kind of a range of faiths and beliefs in there. So obviously there's a lot of sort of Christian stuff, but you've got some Buddhist stuff in there. It's amazing. Of course, we should say you also have the album, which we'll talk about in a moment as well. But I like the fact that you've got all these different sort of influences.
That was important to me, really. You know, because it's the same as with the album. I firmly believe that, you know, okay, I'm known as a kind of a spiritual or religious kind of singer, but I think that this sort of music is accessible to anyone, whether you've got faith or not. And the book is very much that. You know, there are sayings from Desmond Tutu, there's sayings from, you know, Maya Angelou, all kinds of people. And there's even, you know, King George V, and this is probably not the most inspirational of words, but his one is, always go to the bathroom when you have a chance.
We all need to know that, don't we?
It's important.
Yeah. You know, what I love as well is the fact that it is very dip-in-able, and I know we're meant to look at the specific months, but of course we don't, do we? We dip in all the way through. But I've just literally opened it up for November, and I like this one. It says, when thinking about life, remember no amount of guilt can change the past and no amount of anxiety can change the future. And that feels so very relevant right now, because else can we do other than, you know, live in the moment? What else can we do?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that if there's one good thing that's come out of this, and there hasn't been hardly anything, you know, it's been rotten. And there are people in all kinds of industries. And I think about mine selfishly now, but people, you know, working behind the scenes, sound guys, lighting designers,
theatre people,
you know, we both work in central London often. And, you know, walking around the vibrant West End.
I know, it's a ghost town, isn't it?
It's horrible. And you can tell, you know, that industry is bleeding. It's on its legs. But I think one good thing has come from this, and that's maybe a sense of belonging, a sense of community. You know, I'm a firm believer, whether you're a Christian, Muslim, Jehovah's Witness, Quaker, or nothing, at the heart of every person, especially when they're born anyway, is kindness, love, compassion. Mm. And okay, real life gets in the way of that and maybe impacts on you over years. Mm. But, you know, I'm thinking back to Clap for Carers, for instance. Everyone came out and you suddenly saw who your distant neighbour was or whatever.
Yeah,
you made a connection.
That's really true. Apparently some people kind of got to know their neighbours for the first time ever. It is incredible.
Yeah. It is, isn't it? And I think, you know, that's really important. And I think people still now look in on neighbours if they're elderly or whatever as well. And you know, that's a good thing.
Mm, definitely. I mean, I work a lot with people who are ditching the booze and other kind of behaviour challenges and things they want to change. And one thing that we always focus on is this thing of focus on the joys of the ordinary. There's a fabulous book also called The Unexpected Joy of the Ordinary. And I'm always I'm trying to encourage people all the time to focus on these little things because, you know, we talk about self-care. It's very much a buzzword, isn't it? But self-care, you know, doesn't have to mean taking yourself off to a spa. Well, you'd be lucky to do that now. It can literally be, you know, sort of holding up with a, you know, with your book, reading one of these inspirational messages and having a nice warm, I don't know, pair of cozy socks and a coffee. Yeah, you know, it's the little things, isn't it, that really make a difference. And I think there's a sense of that in your book. There is a sense of kind of I don't know, coziness about it, and I love that.
Yeah, I hope so, and hope as well. I think you know, we must cling on to the fact that there's always hope. You know, the first lockdown for me, yes, I drank far too much Sauvignon Blanc, and so the second lockdown, well, in between the first and the second, I made a conscious effort actually to, you know, cut back on everything really, but also get fit. And you know, so I was constantly on sort of bikes and running and everything, and I found that it really made me feel so much fresher, if you like. I slept better. I was just more positive about everything, whereas before, you know, things do kind of niggle. And I found that I'm sort of, you know, better equipped to deal with things, I suppose, because, you know, it's a really weird time. You know, I remember the first lockdown, because I was working all the way throughout it on radio on Classic FM, and driving into central London and going past Buckingham Palace and down the Mall and not seeing anyone.
Yeah.
Not a car, not a person. And then parking up, you know, around Leicester Square, and there was no one about. And you feel, is this for real? Yeah. You know, will I ever see this place like this ever again, you know?
Yeah. I know that your faith in God has kind of sustained you throughout everything. But it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because, you know, there are people who, you know, I've heard people say, well, if there really is a God, why is there so much suffering? How do you answer that kind of cliched question when it comes at you?
Well, he didn't create it, did he? You know, it's not God's doing this. You know, I suppose he's put us on this earth to make the most out of it and to try and make the most out of one another. Mm. And this isn't, you know, it's like when people say, where's God in war? Well, he didn't create the war. The war is created by man, or man and woman. So, you know, I find it's funny when you say, you know, that my faith sustains me in everything. I would say probably it's the music that I sing that sustains me in everything. You know, if I go to a church and there's no music, it really doesn't do anything for me at all, really. Mm-hmm. I don't feel inspired or a connection or anything like that. But if I go to, I don't know, Evensong or, you know, something like that, and I hear these anthems and psalms, and that's when I feel that there's a connection. That's where I feel that, you know, there's a greater being, and that person is kind of there to help me in my life, if you like. But yeah, I'm the first to say if there's no music involved, then I find it tough.
What would you recommend then for somebody who's really struggling at the moment and just feeling, you know, that real sort of sense of despair?
You've got to reach out, haven't you, Janie?
Well, yeah, absolutely, I do. I do believe that. I think that's actually one of the issues, isn't it? That with all of this, many people have a tendency to kind of go insular, don't they?
They go
within, and they have that sense that they're the only person feeling that way. So actually, when you reach out, you know, you're absolutely right. There is, and you know, kindness is good for you. So those of us that are able to give,
don't they say that, you know, by you being kind to somebody else, you're actually being kind to yourself as well?
Absolutely.
That you get something out of it. I think for me anyway, because I'm on my own at this present time, because my family are away in Canada. So, you know, I'm very adamant that I'm going to get out every day as many times as I want, you know, of course, socially distant and all that sort of business, but also, you know, make time for myself as well and do the things I want to do. And yeah, you know, whether that's listening to music, whether that's watching trash on TV or whatever. But I think, you know, with the technology that we've got this day and age as well, it's much easier to connect with people all over the world, isn't it?
Yeah. You know,
my family and I did this. We made this pact that my mum and dad and my gang when they were in London, we'd FaceTime every night of the first lockdown. And now it's carried on throughout. So for the whole year, more or less, we've FaceTimed every night. And after 2 months, we had nothing to say to one another, Jane. It would be like, so how are you? Yeah, great. What have you done today? Nothing. What have you done today? Nothing. What are you eating for tea? Oh, this. What are you eating for tea? And then they'd be like, right, same time tomorrow.
Oh, keeps you connected, eh?
I think it's nice, you know, because the tendency is if you are on your own, then you don't see anyone or don't talk to anyone. And, you know, I'm a great fan of FaceTime because, you know, even if it just means nosing around what's happening behind the person you're talking to, you know.
Yeah, totally. So you got this fabulous book. And as I say, it just is a gorgeous book, a most perfect gift. But also, I would say treat yourself, really, because it's beautifully done. I love the kind of graphics inside as well. I find it just super comforting. I love it. I love just holding it. It's really nice.
Yeah, so do I.
But you've also, we must mention the album and the tour. Tell us a bit about that. I mean, well, first of all, tell us about the choice of tracks, because you've got some fascinating tracks on here.
It's a bit mad.
Yeah, and you've gathered people together to sing with you and all sorts. So tell us some of your faves.
Well, do you know what? It's an album that the idea came to me ages ago, actually, when I was used to broadcast on Radio 2 on Sunday mornings. It was a program for people of faith and none. And very often I'd get sort of quite nasty emails from, you know, so-called Christians saying, why have you had that Muslim guest on? Why have you had that? And I thought to myself, well, actually, you're missing the point, because at the core of all of us is, as I said earlier, you know, loving kindness, compassion. And so the idea was that I'd like to do an album of lots of different faiths and lots of songs that don't incorporate or don't belong to any recognized religion either. And yeah, you said there's a cast of thousands on there, but I'm convinced, Janie, that the only reason they all said yes is because they had nothing else to do during lockdown.
May as well sing with Al a day.
Yeah, exactly. Would I do it normally? No.
Oh, come on. So you've got Dame Judi Dench.
Yes.
With you on one track.
Yeah. Which is amazing.
What a great choice.
Well, I've known Judy for ages. We do a charity together and we've known each other for about 25 years. And, you know, she speaks at the beginning of this Quaker song, which is How Can I Keep From Singing? My Life Flows On in Endless Song. And, you know, Judy could literally just read a Chinese takeaway menu and it would sound great. But having her on this track is amazing. And she's such a gorgeous person, you know.
Yeah.
You spend time with her, and we recorded it before lockdown, and your heart feels gladder that you've spent that time with her. I have an amazing D-Day veteran called Harry Billinge, who I interviewed last year on Gold Beach in Normandy. He was an 18-year-old sapper on D-Day. And he talked, when I interviewed him, about, you know, love being stronger than death. And he wants everyone to remember because he can't forget. And it's so poignant hearing his words, and they're so heartfelt, you know. And when we were recording the video for that, Jenny, it was a hardened cameraman and sound men were coming up to me in tears saying it was so moving, you know. Susan Boyle is on Bless This House.
Yeah, that's great, isn't it?
Yeah, and I wish I'd got to see her. She recorded hers in Scotland. The priests who are on an Irish blessing, they recorded theirs in Ireland. And Sami Yusuf, who we talked, you know, is a Muslim singer-songwriter, very, very successful. He did his bit in the United Arab Emirates, and the orchestra were recorded in New Zealand.
Wow. And then I see you've got, you know, with your kind of ode to Christmas, you've got Silent Night with Brian Blessed.
Yeah, the person who has the least silent voice in the world.
Yeah, that's true.
Gordon's alive! You know, I just had a mad idea because, again, the charity that Judy and I are involved in, it's called Story of Christmas, and we have readings and poems and stuff, and Brian often comes along and reads the 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, you know, and the poem. And I just had an idea for him to do a bit of that and then for me to be singing Silent Night at the same time. And, you know, the minute you hear his voice doing that, you just feel the warmth of Christmas, if you like. He's a, you know, national treasure. And, yeah, it's worked really, really well. You know, I love the fact that he's on the album as well.
Yeah. And I read somewhere that you'd planned to work with a big choir, the Tabernacle Choir.
Yeah.
Was that for the recording?
Yeah, we were lined up to do Down to the River to Pray, which is a Mormon song. And the 300-strong Mormon Tabernacle Choir were ready to go with it. I'd recorded my solo line. And then, of course, you know, they weren't able to get together. They're still not able to get together. And so, yeah, we've parked that one for now. But, you know, we're still in touch and I'd still love to do something with them.
Yeah. God, that's heartbreaking, isn't it? You always want to be able to sing. It's good for you to sing, right?
Well, do you know what? The thing is, you know, it's as natural as breathing for me.
I've
done it since I was 11. And this is the longest I've not performed in front of an audience all my life.
Yeah. Yeah. Just tell us a little bit. Yeah, exactly. Tell us a bit about your tour, because, you know, let's please keep everything crossed that it actually is going to happen. Now, this is just going to be so fabulous, this cathedral tour. I mean, just how lovely to be able to stand in the cathedral and sing these songs.
Well, exactly. And not just that, but, you know, I'm saying it right here with you now. I will never, ever moan about being tired on tour again. Okay.
Because
it's, you know, I was meant to be on tour now. Thankfully, it's not been just thrown out. It's been postponed. So from the end of April through to May and the beginning of June. And yeah. And then when I'm sort of doing interviews or whatever, and people say, hopefully, you think, gosh, I'd have to be able to sing by then, won't I? You know, that's months away, isn't it? It's unprecedented. And I hate using that word because everyone used it for the first month of the first lockdown. Like it seemed every 10 seconds, but it really is. I can't wait to get back on the road and as you say, sing in these incredible buildings.
Yeah, brilliant. So Aled, what will people get from this great book?
Well, the same thing from the book and the album, really. Yeah, a moment to step away from the here and the now and whatever life we're living in and just escape somewhere different.
Yeah, absolutely. Aled Jones, Everyday Blessings, Inspirational Words of Comfort and Hope is the book, and the album is called Blessings. The book is published by Hodden Stoughton, by the way. Aled, thank you so much for your time.
Oh,
I really appreciate it.
Lovely
and
hearing you.
Soon we'll get together.
Yeah, we were with that other fellow. I can't remember his
name. Yeah, with him, with Wrighty. Yeah. Thanks ever so much. Bye.
Thank you, Aled. I totally agree with Aled's sentiment that, you know, effectively, this is not a conversation around faith or having a faith. It's around everything, you know, the core of every faith being love and being kindness. And that is what we have. That is what we can hang on to, right? We can hang on to love and kindness through everything that's going on right now. So the book's Everyday Blessings, and it's published by Hodder and Stoughton. And the album Blessings is out as well. And there's that massive cathedral tour, if you want to go and see Aled next year, starting in May at Paisley Abbey. Then he goes to Durham and Manchester and Bangor and a whole host of other dates. But nearer the time, we'll do those dates for you again. So... there's lots going on, of course, in terms of what I'm doing with the Sober Club. I feel very fortunate that we have our online meetups and our, you know, we're able to kind of bring in experts and we're able to do all kinds of stuff. And if I really do believe that this is the key, you know, this staying connected is absolutely the answer. So, you know, if you need help, if you need support, just reach out. The Sober Club is closed at the moment, but drop me a message and we'll see what we can do if that is something that you're interested in, because you know, I really do think that actually being connected with people that are like-minded is the answer here, and whatever happens, don't as we said in that interview, don't go within and just hide yourself away and suffer. Absolutely always reach out if you need some help. And of course, there are lots of things that we can do during lockdown. I know lots of people are working anyway, and lots of, you know, obviously education is continuing and essential shops and all of that stuff. But for those people who have a little more time on their hands, then, you know, I think we all can focus a little bit more on self-care and on, as I was saying to Aled, again, you know, the joy of the ordinary, that just actually recognizing what is it that we really need. I've got a few Sober Club members who cracked sobriety during the last lockdown, and it's been amazing for them to have that as their legacy. And if you're at the early stages, then let this be yours. You know, second lockdown in the UK, make that your ditching the booze time. And just get all the support that you need. We've got some great guests coming up in the next few weeks. I am going to do that podcast with the food addiction specialist. I'm really looking forward to bringing you that. I think it's a really important topic to cover. I'm also going to be speaking to somebody with regard to when you have alcoholic parents, you know, how that affects children of alcoholic parents. So we've got that coming up. And what else have I got coming up? I'm doing something on the menopause. I think we mentioned that before. And Jason Vale is going to come on the podcast. Really hoping that will happen very soon. Everyone's real busy. Drop me a line if you've got any suggestions of anyone that you would like me to interview. If you want to grab yourself a copy of my little mini ebook, my tips, how to get and stay sober during lockdown, then the link will be in the show notes, or go to thesoberclub.com. See, who'd have thought I'd be mentioning that again? There you go. How to get and stay sober during lockdown. It's just a little PDF with some tips and ideas. There's a bunch of blog posts at thesoberclub.com as well, and some competitions as well to win some alcohol-free drinks. You know, don't forget that phrase that I say all the time: keep the ritual, change the ingredients. It's perfectly okay for you to have something nice to drink. Just because you're ditching the booze doesn't mean that you can only have water or tea. There are so many amazing grown-up alcohol-free drinks, really fabulous ones. So make sure you grab one for yourself and enjoy, you know, a lovely glass, and, you know, enjoy a nice meal. It's all part of feeling good about yourself, really. Don't sort of hole up saying, oh, I can't have a drink, and then sit there eating rubbish food with you know, a cup of tea that you're not particularly enjoying, because that won't be doing the right thing for your unconscious mind. You need to make yourself feel good, not feel deprived. One last thing to tell you about the TV show that I'm part of. It was, you know, put together for an incredibly low budget for Sky TV, and it goes, it's called the Feel Good Factor TV channel. It launches on November 7th. And there's a whole bunch of great presenters on there: Joe Vitale, Kim Mazzell, Sue Stone, Suzanne Sylvester, Heather Small. Some of you may remember her name from the music biz. A whole bunch of people. And my show is called Being Imperfectly Natural. And so it's all my kind of tips and ideas for living a holistic life. And I get to interview some great guests. I was so fortunate that, you know, I don't know how we managed it in and out of in and out of lockdown. But anyways, I've got some great guests, including organic hairdresser Tabitha James Cran, Chinese medicine doctor Katie Brindle, and Dr. Zach Bush on gut health. So there's a bunch of great guests. And so I think it's 9 a.m. my show on Sunday the 7th. I'm pretty sure mine is 9. But anyway, check it out. The channel goes across 4 or 5 hours on Sky Channel 192. Love to know what you think of it. Feel Good Factor TV. And any ideas, you know, any questions, any comments, any feedback, I'd absolutely love to hear from you. You can follow us on social media as well, Feel Good Factor TV. And of course, you can find me on Instagram at Janie Lee Grace. Once again, you know, whatever works for you, make sure you put that support in place. If it's, you know, that you want to speak to someone one-to-one, make it happen. If you want to be part of a group, make it happen. If podcasts and Quitlet works for you, all good. But whatever you do, reach out. Don't hole up and feel as though you're struggling. There's loads of help available out there. And so as we head into another lockdown in the UK, sending you a massive virtual hug. And, you know, one day we'll get to do more events and meetups and things in person. I really hope so. Have a good week. Speak next time. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.